Praise the Lord. I'm honored, humbled, and I give honor always to Pastor and Sister Schumacher for what they've done for us, for what they've done for each of you, for what they've done for this community. I'm a little bit out of order already, but can we just wait on him a minute? Who can search the depths of our God? You see, Pastor said some great things, but who is like unto our God that would show a man like this mercy to come back up here and minister to you? Who is like unto our God that would give many of you in here a second chance to be able to one day hear, well done, good and faithful? Who is like unto our God to have a man named Saul that was consenting unto death, and as he was doing that, he still gave enough mercy to allow him to write much of the New Testament and be one of the greatest apostles? Nobody knows his depths. Who's like unto our God? Jesus, we give you honor. Lord, we give you all the praise that we can, Jesus, not just in our hands lifted and our voice, but in our actions and in our fiber and in our life, Jesus. We give you honor. Ask you to meet us here tonight, Jesus. Rest upon me. Share what you have tonight, Jesus, for I am unworthy. I'm imperfect. I'm broken. But only you can pour through me into this sanctuary tonight, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy, Jesus. Bless this message, Jesus. Stay standing, please. We're going to start in 2 Corinthians 12. This is one of my favorites, Paul. 2 Corinthians 12, it is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. If you're not familiar with the scripture, and I will read on, but if you're not familiar with the scripture, this is, it's cute. It's him speaking about himself in the third person. He goes on to say, and I knew such a man. I think I already read that, but I didn't. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. I ask you to just pray with me again very briefly before we sit down. Jesus, we lift our voices to you. We magnify you, Jesus, tonight. We're going to look at your word in a different way, Jesus, and I ask you to anoint and bless what it is you would have that we see tonight, Jesus. Thank you for all your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated if you'd like. I said, who is like unto our God? We're actually going to explore this later, but who is like unto our God? You can't search his depths. There is none like him. He was, he is, he will be. There is none equal to him. There is no alternative. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Mighty God, the Lion of Judah, the Ancient of Days. We can't search the depths of his mercy toward us. And I was listening to a minister recently who said that we can't give him glory because we can't give him something that only he is and possesses and only he can contain. It's an interesting thought, but only God deserves all glory and all praise. You see, he is seeking a bride. I pose to you that he is seeking a bride that has their lamps full of oil. So tonight, if I were titling the message, it would be the highest praise. He seeks those that would worship him in spirit and in truth and that would truly give him the highest praise. And, you know, when I say praise, we're going to explore different facets of praise. Traditional praise, but I'm going to pivot to the highest praise, my attempt to do the best of what is a higher praise. But I sometimes pray, I want my praise, I want my worship to be acceptable. Because I am, my righteousness is as filthy rags, we will read in the scriptures. And a few weeks, a month ago, I did a lesson where I talked about we don't want to give polluted bread. We don't want to give a polluted offering. You see, praise, sometimes when I say the term praise, sometimes you immediately think about the hands lifted. And, you know, some people have the Pentecostal sway. And maybe you jump to the beat a little bit better than me. And maybe you shout a little bit louder than me. And you go straight to that type of praise. And we'll talk about that praise. But I also want to pivot and go a little bit to higher praise or a highest praise. My second text, and I'm going here to ask you to allow me to preach to you tonight, is 1 Corinthians 1 and 21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew it not, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. This simplicity. I'm bringing you, and I don't say this to ask for apologies, I'm bringing you a simple message tonight. It's maybe possibly foolish. Romans 10 and 14 says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him on whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Can you allow me to be your preacher tonight? I know some people might be tired. This is a midweek Wednesday. The Lord has poured these thoughts into me for a number of weeks, and it's thoughts from over here and thoughts from over there, and I've put a lot of time into this. I'm asking you, let me be your preacher tonight. I'm not talking about traditional praise, but I'm speaking to the Wednesday night faithful to take you to a new level, a different level of the way God looks at your praise, because it isn't just the hands lifted. It's so much more. So let me preach to you a little bit tonight, and as I'm often asked, you know, make me happy, make it snappy. I promise to be succinct, but very much focused on what the Lord has given me. So back to the text, right? So allow me to frame the ornate, crown molding around the room, so you know exactly how the room looks and exactly the way I'm looking into this room. I want to give you the frame for the lesson. Back to the text. Back to the opening text. I knew a man who went up into the third heaven, this text. Have you ever been down here at such a blowout service, which my wife and I are now calling a kaboom? We learned this recently in the South. You're welcome to use that. But have you ever been at a kaboom service and you're prayed up, you're prayed through, you're prayed out? You've prayed for him, you prayed for yourself, you went back and prayed for him, you've jumped, you've run, you've knelt, you've sweat through your suit, and you're exhausted. Have you ever had one of those blowout nights to where pastor steps back and says the altar is open before opening the text, and 45, 60, 80 minutes later, you've been just basking in a little bit of what Brother Mundy just talked about? I want to find deeper waters, and I want to let him flow. Has anybody ever been there? Just me? Okay, so three of you. I'm kidding. Thank you for playing along. Have you been to the moment where you're at the end of the blowout, the end of the kaboom, but you're so immersed in God's presence that you know there just must be more? You see, I was in this frame of mind a month or two ago. It was in this building. We were having one of those services, and I was exhausted. I was sweat through. You know, it had to go to the dry cleaner because it was one of those nights, but I wanted more. And I thought of this scripture. Do you ever want to just talk about yourself in the third person and say, I knew a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I know not, but he went up into the third heaven. This to me was, God, I want that. And until I can get that, how do I get there? And I was praying, and I'm like, I want that. I want to do what Paul did. I want to be able to see. And it came to me that I have to find what the highest praise is. We talk about the highest praise. We talk about a higher praise, but what is it? Because I felt, God, I'm prayed up, I'm prayed through, I prayed for everybody up here. I'm exhausted, but I want that. That's the frame as to how I studied what is the highest praise. There must be more for me. More that I could do. So wanting to give him more to find the highest praise, to where I could think about myself in the third person, I intuitively just went and studied all sorts of examples of praise. And instead of going through many of them, I'm going to just remind you of a few. I may read one or two, but the top of mind example that comes to mind first, I overuse it probably up here. It's very good when talking to friends or acquaintances, is David dancing as the ark returns. And it's such a powerful example to me because he took off his kingly robes and he lowered himself as a child to show a display, even in front of the one that probably meant the most to him, his wife. And he pointed at her and he said it was before the Lord. This is probably my most memorable example of what my worship should be, because no matter what anybody says, whether it's the beautiful lady on the front row or my best friend, it's before the Lord that I give my praise. It's before the Lord that I give my honor. Other examples, so Paul and Silas, you know, we learned this at a young age, Paul and Silas, and I'll butcher the song, so I'll stop. A great example. Let me actually read the next one, Matthew 26 and 7, briefly. Boy, if we had a contest to get there the fastest, I just lost. How about Matthew 26 and 6? Now, when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment and poured it out on his head, and he sat at meat. We all know the story well. I won't continue to read, but this one comes to mind because it's a little bit different type of praise. It's a little bit different twist on the traditional, I say, give me your example of highest praise or worship. You're going to think of the other examples. This is an action that's an extremely high moment of praise. In fact, if you studied, I think scholars say that the cost was upwards of a half year's wages. This was quite a moment of dedication, praise, and worship. And I will do one more, which is in 2 Chronicles. I would say this is probably one of the more extravagant instances of extreme praise, which is why I want to read it a little bit to you. 2 Chronicles 7 and probably 1 through 5 more or less. Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. So I went back yesterday evening and again this morning, and I read around this, and we're seeing a dedication, we're seeing a consecration of the temple. And the priests, this is where it gets me, the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. It makes me think of Isaiah 6 and 1 when he says, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple, and smoke filled the... And he said, woe is me, for I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. I mean, this is a true visualization. The priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good. His mercy endureth forever. Then the king and all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord, and King Solomon offered a sacrifice, 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the people dedicated the house of God. You want to talk about some praise? This is a lot of sacrifice and praise. What do you do with 120,000 sheep? Where do you get them? Where do you store them? And the priests waited on their offices, the Levites also with instruments of music of the Lord, which David the king had made to praise the Lord because his mercy endureth forever, when David praised by their ministry, and the priests sounded trumpets before them, and all Israel stood. And I highlighted all Israel stood because, you know, we see worship, we see praise, we see significant sacrifice and dedication, we hear trumpets, and all of Israel stood. This is an extremely high level of praise, as high as you probably would see in the Old Testament. This same Solomon, in the prior chapter, if you want to go over, the wisest of all men that ever was and ever will be, is the one who said, "How I open tonight. There is no God like thee in heaven, and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee." He said in 2 Chronicles 6 and 14, and he said, "O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven, nor in the earth, which keepest covenant and showest mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all their hearts." And down in 18 he says, "But will God in very deed dwell with men on earth? Behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house which I have built." So I ask you, these sacrifices and these dedications that we see, these moments of praise, he seems, and I'm trying to go back to frame the window, okay? He seems to be giving all he can. in praise and trumpets and dedication and devotion. But he seems to be questioning a little bit, is this really even enough? Because the heaven of heavens can't contain you. And who am I to even build a temple that should contain you? And I think Solomon, in all of his wisdom, is a little bit giving us a view that there's more than what meets the eye. I'm trying to find my words carefully. I take this very seriously. You see, what I'm going to go to later and where I'm going to take us tonight is praise is so much more than what you see. And praise is so much more than what you bring or lift up in this house, whether it's actions or spoken. Truly a higher praise is deeper than lifting hands. I'm not saying that it's not important. Hear me tonight. I'm not diluting the importance of giving God our voice and our praise and our hands, but I want to take you a little bit deeper in a very high praise. So as I start to pivot to higher or highest praise, I pose to you that our actions, our motions, our giving and our sacrifice is an important element of praise, but there's so much more that bolts onto it that takes you further. As evidence, and I'm in the book here, so I'm trying to move us along, but as evidenced as to where we're going. So as I pivot towards higher praise or examples of God showing true favor on amazing praise, I was awakened to a new idea after a sermon that I had heard. So I began studying the highest praise. I guess I have to do my timeline. I began studying examples of worship and praise, and I was at what you would probably call writer's block. I had gone through the examples I've given you from Solomon to David to Paul and Silas, and I kind of have writer's block, like there's nothing new under the sun. I've read these things. I understand. I truly give you my all. We had the blowout. Lord, I want to have revelation of what is higher praise. I want to go further. I want to go deeper. And I listen to sermons a lot. I listen to podcasts. Specifically, I listen to Pastor Harpo quite a bit when I run. So probably 2 or 3 weeks ago, I was running, and he did this sermon on Noah. It was something about the exposition of Noah. It was a study of Noah. And it was a good sermon. And it planted a little seed in me that I didn't realize was planted until maybe a week or two after that. I actually was speaking to Pastor Harpo. We talk once in a while. And the thought completely came alive. The seed sprouted, and it took me to our next scripture, which is up in Genesis. Genesis 6. Genesis 6 and 6 says, "And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping things, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them." So you might say, we're supposed to be learning what is a higher form of praise, and you're reading to me that it repenteth God that he made man. And the next scripture is where I take you, Exhibit A. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You see, he did an exposition of Noah. And as I'm praying and as I'm fasting to put together thoughts around this, it came completely alive that, but Noah, ... is a testimony of the highest praise. You see, when God can say, but Pastor Schumacher found favor, found grace in the eyes of the Lord, it's evidence that not just his hands and his things he says, but it's evidence that every bit, I'm trying to get down in your fiber. I'm trying to get down in your fiber. It's evidence that every fiber of Noah's being was aligned with God's will, such that God Almighty, who is like unto our God, just let it sink in, the thought of God saying, but Noah found grace. You see, he's out there saying, rains are coming, the floods are coming, judgment's coming. The king is bringing judgment. The king is bringing rain. And scholars say he built this ark for 70-ish years, 70. And everybody but 8 people mocked him, laughed at him, said he was a crazy man, did not follow his doctrine, even though he had heard from the Lord himself. But Noah found grace. And when God says, but Noah found grace, this to me is the testimony, the testament, the words that prove that there is a higher praise, and that higher praise is every bit of your fiber and actions are aligned such that God could actually, on a street of gold one day, say, but Brother Frank found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It doesn't say that Noah shouted and worshiped. It doesn't say, it doesn't really explain his actions. It tells us that Noah was fully obedient. And obedience is a really big word, because a lot happens when we you know, I use this term a lot. There's a lot of gray between the black and white on a sheet of paper. The black and white happens around the altar, and we all give him our praise, and we clean ourselves up, and we do our best. But there's a lot of gray that happens at work and with our colleagues and at the restaurant. He says, come out from among them and be ye separate, and touch not the unclean things, saith the Lord, and I will be your father, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. You see, what he was confirming when he said, but Noah, .. he was saying Noah came out from among them and he was separate and he didn't touch the unclean thing. And I am his father and he shall be my son, saith the Lord Almighty. But Noah, .. is evidence of Noah actually giving him the highest praise behind the curtain when nobody was watching. There are other great examples of high praise in action in lifestyle, and exhibit B, the next one, I'm going to take you to Daniel. And for those of you that know where I'm going, I'm going to have something along the lines of, but if not, within the text. If it be, 3:17 says, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. They refused to bow in their actions, and they knew that, but if not, my God is going to save me. This is a form of the highest praise, possibly the highest praise you can give, willingness to walk into the fiery furnace in the face of death. Moving along to Luke 22, please. Luke 22 and 41, it's our very own God. And he, let's go to 40. And he was at the place. He said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Ancient of Days, the omnipotent God, the mighty and all-knowing, he out of love, I still can't get my mind around this, out of love, because he is love, robed himself in flesh, and he had to honor, he chose to honor what I would pose to you as the highest praise. He put his flesh in line with the clock of eternity and the will of heaven. Even Jesus himself, robed in flesh, displayed this element of the highest praise, which is completely aligning everything about himself in front of the curtain and behind the curtain to his calling. And one more, Genesis 22. Genesis 22:3 says, And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abram lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. It's an exhibit, and this one's a little wrinkle on the context, I think, but it's an exhibit of the highest praise. It's back to dedication. We don't see the lifted hands, the shouting, the dancing, the examples of what we experience during the blowout services, the kabooms. But the praise, the act of praise, the highest praise, the higher praise here is the submission. It's the respect, it's the dedication, it's the honor above all else. So I ask myself as I look at these things, how is my praise life? Can he say, but Kurt? ... That's really the question I ask myself, because if I go back to the opening text, am I going to be able to experience unspeakable things that are unlawful for man to speak in the third heaven, whether in the body or out of the body, I know not. God knoweth. If I am not fully aligned in my fiber from top to bottom with what God's intentions are for me, in my dedication, in my respect, in everything about me, what God would have for me, the truly higher or highest praise. As I said earlier, come out from among them and be ye separate. It's, you know, I was talking through some of these concepts with my daughter on the way here, and I said, who is like unto our Lord, Kennedy? And she said, who? And I said, no one. I said, who is like unto our Lord, Kennedy? She said, who? I said, no one. His depths are unsearchable, Kennedy. And we are having this conversation, and somehow in the last days, this other conversation was a parallel conversation. It was about other faiths. It was about other churches. And when I was explaining to her, there is none like our God. There is no equal. There never was. There never will be. She asked me specifically about some people that she knows from a different faith. And she said, they believe this. Is that right? I said, Kennedy, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will be your father, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. I said, and I'm not making this about what you do and how you look, but I am. Because I said, Kennedy, if we give all of the praise and worship we want, but on Friday night we don't come out from among them and we touch the unclean thing, and we blend in with them and we look completely disrespectful like the world because we didn't come out from among them and we decided to partake and touch the unclean thing. I'm in the book here, guys. I said, I'm not going to answer your question, but I'm going to give you some scripture. And I talked a little bit with her about it. I told her how she's a royal priesthood, a chosen nation of peculiar people. And it'll preach a little bit because it's an exact parallel path to what I'm talking about here. You see, the Wednesday night faithful, I know each and every one of you, you could sit back in your seat and say, I give them my all, and you probably do, and that's awesome. I'm a little bit trying to be foolish and simple tonight to reinforce in you that when you leave this place, come out from among them and be separate. Because we've had a really good service. We've worshiped, we've praised, we've felt God's presence. He's rested upon us. But now let's take it with us and let's continue to move and grow so that we can see revival which comes from true, true worshipers. As I come nearer to a close, I want to give a couple of thoughts that came into this yesterday back in Revelation, just to keep a little bit in memory. Revelation 1 and 10 is the first scripture I'm going to go to before going to Revelation 2. Revelation 1 and 10 is the revelation of John. He said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. So I read that just to remind you who we're talking about and what's the perspective. And down in 17, it says, "And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last." I pose to you that John, by having this revelation and access and showing us evidence and writing the revelation of John, probably up at the beginning it could say, "But John, dot, dot, dot." But John found grace in the Lord. But I'm reading this to set the stage because it really, it brings together the culmination of the message. Moving to chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2 and 1, "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou cannot bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted." So I'm going to read one more scripture, as you could probably guess, but look. We're talking to people that have labored and they've been patient, and they can't stand evil. They had a form of separation. Maybe they had a form of godliness, but denied the power thereof. I wasn't there. They tried those that were apostles but weren't and found them liars, and you've had patience. And in my name's sake, my name, Jesus, the name above all names, and you've not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Hear me tonight. Judgment's coming. The rains are coming. The floods are coming. Got to build your ark. Your praise and your worship is not just about the tangible, the visible, the display. It's about the state of the heart. It's about the fiber. 1 Peter 2:9, as I just says, but just said earlier, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." God could not and he would not have said earlier, "But Noah, dot, dot, dot." He would not have said that. He would not have written that if Noah was not completely all in, clean, separate, and pure with God's order for his life. And as I get very close to close, I pose to you, is it perhaps, and I don't have the scripture, but is it perhaps why Paul said, "I fight not. I fight not as one that beateth the air, but rather I keep my body under subjection, lest I myself might become a castaway, having preached the word." You see, I studied this, I don't have the scripture. I know I would have gotten a foul, and I would not have made nationals. You're shaking your head. That's correct. But he said, I don't fight as one that beateth the air, but my fight is about keeping my body under subjection. Having preached the word, I might become a castaway. You see, he realized he was exposed. I mean, we've heard this lesson a lot, but if you think about the context of tonight, I'm trying to maintain the importance of our worship. I'm trying to maintain the importance of our dedication and our praise and our shouting of hallelujah and our lifting our hands. I mean, all of these things are biblical, but I'm urging you to bolt onto it that you have to keep every bit of yourself under subjection, lest you yourself become a castaway. The floods come, and you had the form of godliness, and everybody sees us with the Pentecostal sway. But down deep inside, I ask you, I urge you, the Wednesday night faithful, keep everything under subjection, lest you, lest me, lest any of us become a castaway. I think my final example, Galatians 1:6. It's a little bit like the scathing review of the church at Ephesus, but now we're talking to our friends, the Galatians. I'm going to read two different excerpts here in Galatians, so keep your thumb. 1:6 says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. So it's a familiar scripture. If you go back and look at it, the rudiments of the thought were very early in Galatians. He comes out guns a-blazing because the rudiments of it in verse 6, I marvel that you're already so soon removed. We haven't even got through formalities, and he's coming out guns a-blaze saying, you're already removed from the truth. That only can be said if at one point they were all in. They were in the ark. You were in the ark, and I marvel that you're already out of the ark. And again, I'm in the book. I'm kind of stringing together. It's deduction, right? It's logic. I'm stringing together that they, by definition, by the way he's coming out skating them, saying you were there, but now you're already out of the ark. And further confirmation in Galatians 5:7 is simply this. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? You see, further confirmation that this church that he is writing to has stepped away from their true love, just like we read about the church at Ephesus. At one point, they were going fast. They were running great. He didn't say you were doing okay, you were walking. He said you were running, but they lost their high praise, I would pose to you. Can we just wait on him a second? Jesus, I ask that you move in us tonight, Lord. I ask you to give us strength, Jesus, to not just give you our voice and our hands, Jesus, but that you move in our fiber, Lord, and that you change exactly who we are. That we live a life of high praise, Jesus, that we build the ark, Lord, and that we help tell people that judgment's coming, Jesus. Lord, I ask you at this moment to move in this place, Jesus. Lord, we give you all the praise. Jesus, you are good. I implore again. I want to be careful as I conclude here. I implore that you take everything that I've given as encouragement. I implore you to search down deep inside and look at the inside of every bit of your fiber, because indeed to go back to be able to say, I knew a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I know not. To be able to get truly to where I want to go. I want more, folks. I want so much more for myself, and I want so much more for my family. To be able to get there, we have to press further toward a higher mark and a higher calling. And with that, Pastor, please.
Thank you, Brother Coffey. Amen. As Pentecostals, we know worship. Well, at least we know the motions of worship. In the Old Testament, their worship almost consisted of giving a sacrifice. And the scripture comes to mind is that Samuel got the word from the Lord and told Saul, go kill all of the Amalekites, which represents the flesh. And in 1 Samuel 15 and 21, it says, but the people, this is Saul speaking, the king, but the people took the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. See, this is our worship. So what we did was, because we're worshiping, we didn't do exactly what you said. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than to sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath rejected thee from being king. So what Brother Coffee is saying is, yes, I want to worship, I want to get into the presence of God, but if I have not obeyed what God said, sit out. Because it could be a polluted offering because we haven't obeyed what God said. That's why this message is so important, because it's just not the sacrifice of our lips. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, you see. So what are the greatest parts of worship is just being obedient to the word of God. And we can't substitute worship for obedience. And I know I irritate a lot of people by saying, where are you? But the Bible says that we're to gather ourselves all the more as we see the day approaching. And when you deliberately say, well, I'm not going to, and then you come and worship God. Oh, I know I irritate people by that, but it's the word of God. And if we're going to have a blowout, if we're really going to have a worship, if we're really going to see people healed and blessed, you know, first of all, there has to be obedience in our life, and then we can come before him and worship God, you know. Great thought. What Brother Coffee doesn't know is Saturday night, Brother Shani preached the same message in the prison. Amen. That you have to be obedient first. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. You know, I'm grateful from time to time preaching has hit me in the head and stepped on my toes. Because it's made me a better man, you know. And Saul, I'm sorry, sit down. David, come on. Because David was not only a worshiper, but he was obedient. It says David was a man after God's own heart, because the rest of that scripture is, because I know he will instruct his family to do what the word of God says. So, amen. Thank you, Brother Coffee. That was awesome. Would you stand with me, please? I've often thought, as Brother Coffee, how do I get to that third heaven? How do I get to that place where I can't even describe what happened to me, you know? And if you haven't been at that place where you're just about ready to ascend, it just takes a little more effort to get there. Amen. Hallelujah. The altar's open. Would you come?